blaming others for your problem is just like eating donuts and blaming the donuts for making you fat. You see how the ridiculous is? It's nothing to do with the donut. It's the choice you made. See, it's not the conditions. It's the choices and the decisions you make that define your destiny or where you end up in life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have set the atmosphere for you. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Turn with me, please, to the book of John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and I'll be reading from verse 1. It says, some time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic or Hebrew is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Hallelujah. I mean, just for the sake of those who are not familiar with this story, Jesus goes to Jerusalem for a festival. Now he goes into a temple, and in the temple there is a pool there. And along the pool you have all sorts of all manner of people who are sick, lying by the pool, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And they have one goal. Every one of them want to get healed. But then there was this guy there who Jesus saw that, or he realized that he had been there for 38 years. And honestly, hats off to that guy, because 38 years is a long time. It's a long time. And he would go there every day, believing that one day his story will change. And I pray that may that never happen to you. After this message, may your breakthrough come swiftly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so that prompts Jesus to ask this guy a question. He says, "Do you want to get healed?" And anytime I see questions in the Bible, I pay particular attention, especially if it's from God. I pay particular attention. Do you know, if you've been there doing the same thing for 38 years, that is crazy. And perhaps Jesus understands that, and so Jesus is thinking, "My God, this guy has been here 38 years. And maybe he knows that without divine intervention, old ways will never open new doors." Right. Old ways will never open new doors. If it has to change, you have to change. Nothing will improve if you don't improve. It won't. And so he says to him, "Do you want to get healed?" Now, what's interesting is this guy doesn't really say yes or no. He doesn't say, "Yes, I want to get healed," or "No." Now, if I was him, the first thing I'd be like, "Yes, Jesus, please help me when the water is dead. Help me get in the water." But he doesn't say yes or no. And that is the problem. A lot of us are living our lives in the middle ground. It's neither here or there, the neutral zone. Wow. Now listen, there's no problem living in the neutral zone. There's no problem. It's just that when challenges come, you will not know how to handle it. See, when everything is going okay, the neutral zone is fine. You think of a car trying to go uphill. You change the gear and put it in neutral. It's only one way you are coming down. You're coming down. Or if you are descending a hill, you put the car in neutral, you're going to crash. And so anytime you live your life in the neutral zone, life just controls you. You have no control over what you're doing. The elements of life just controls you like that. You can't live your life in the neutral zone. You can't. Because you'd be battered left, right, center. And so this guy, he doesn't say yes or no. But somehow he manages to come up with an answer. And says, Lord, you know, when the water is dead, I have nobody to put me in the water. And even when I try to do it, people get there before me. You see what the guy is doing? He's blaming others for his problem. You can never live your life like that. You never succeed. Look, there are three ways. Hallelujah. There are three ways or three things I pick up from this text that will guarantee your failure. Blaming others for your problem. Sitting around doing nothing and complaining about everything. Hallelujah. You're guaranteed. Honest, hallelujah. You're guaranteed to fail. You see, blaming others for your problem is just like eating donuts and blaming the donuts for making you fat. You see how ridiculous it is? It's nothing to do with the donuts. It's the choice you made. See, it's not the conditions. It's the choices and the decisions you make that define your destiny or where you end up in life. That guy sitting there, you know, he wasn't sitting there because he was paralyzed or because he didn't get people to put him there. It was his mindset. It was his mindset. Your life is as good as your mindset. So please, don't let your mindset keep you where you are not supposed to be. Don't let your mindset keep you where you are not supposed to be. Honestly, it's got nothing to do with the fact that he was paralyzed. There are lots of people who are paralyzed, but they were making it. But he couldn't. It's just the mindset. Please, don't let it keep you where you are not supposed to be. You've come too far. Too far. Do you know, and I believe that this guy, as he was sitting there every day, his dream was, Lord, when is my story going to change? Lord, when am I going to get healed? That was his dream. But listen, the extent to which you achieve your dream depends on the extent to which you're able to take control of your life. Honestly, the extent to which you're able to achieve your dreams purely depends on the extent to which you're able to take control of your life. Take responsibility of your life. Look, one day the Bible said, how do you call him? David. David came to a place called Ziklag. That was where he was based. When he got to Ziklag with his men, you know what had happened? The enemy had been there already, taking their wives, their sons, their daughters, everything, and burned the place down. And when David and his men got there, they began to cry. They began to cry. The Bible says they began to cry. To the point that there was no tears even left in them. They began to cry. And after that, the men were blaming David. And you know what David did? He got up and said, you know, it's time to take responsibility. So he went to the man of God and said, please, I need to consult God concerning this situation. So he said to God, God, can I pursue these guys who have come for my people? Will I overtake them? He went to God with two questions. Can I pursue these guys? Can I overtake them? And God said, yes, pursue them. You overtake them. And God added one more thing that he even didn't ask. He said, recover all. Yes. Recover all. Regain possession of everything the enemy has taken from you. Amen. Recover all. As soon as David heard that this is the will of God for my life, he called his men, guys, let's go. It's time to pursue what belonged to us. But it started when he took responsibility. And he went and got everything that belonged to them. Everything. Guys, let me say this. You know, you should never let your circumstances, no matter how bad it is, determine how far you go in life. It should only determine where you start from. It should only determine where you start from. You should never let it define how far you go. Let it determine where you start from. Because we all have to start from somewhere in life. We all have to start from somewhere in life. You know, they say I can't remember how they say. They say you have to start to be great. You don't have to be great to start. I think that's a saying like that. You know, you have to start from somewhere. And for a child of God, the best place to start is on your knees. It's the best place to start. Because that is where the direction comes. That is where the guidance comes. That's the best place to start from. You know how many people know about Naaman, the story Naaman? The Bible says that guy was an army commander. And he lists all his accomplishments. He's done this, he's done that, he's done this, he's done that. But there was a problem with Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman had leprosy. But it happens that in the house where Naaman was, in one of their raids, they got this slave girl who used to live with them, or who lived with them. And the slave girl said to her mistress, "You know, I know a man in Israel who can cure Naaman of his leprosy." Now, what's interesting is that up until that point, there's never been a case where anybody had been healed of leprosy. So how this small little girl even knows that the man of God in Israel can heal the leprosy amazes me. Even Jesus said it. He says there were many lepers in Israel. Not a single one was healed except Naaman. Jesus said it. So how this girl knows that the man of God can heal Naaman of his leprosy blows my mind. But you see, as soon as Naaman heard it, even though it was coming from a kid, a slave, he could easily have ignored her. But as soon as he heard it, what did he do? He put things together, he put gifts together, and began to pursue his healing. He began to pursue his healing. Now he gets to Elisha. Elisha says, "Look, you have to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan." Naaman wasn't happy with that. Because I understand, it's human nature. His accomplishments, the things he's done in life, he felt a bit too big to go and, you know, wash in the Jordan. Understand, it's human nature. But, you know, at some point he was convinced that, "Naaman, you do this." And you know what he did? He emptied himself of all the pride and everything in there. Made room for God to move in his life. Wow. You understand? And made room for God. So listen, you can pursue things that God has called that we should pursue. But if you don't make room in your life for him, there's nothing he can do. There is nothing. He emptied himself. And for some of us, we need to empty ourselves. Not necessarily pride, but maybe our mindset. Opinions and things, we need to empty up so that we give God the room to move. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." How many people know that you serve a sovereign God? How many people know? A sovereign God, he's the ultimate, he's the supreme. Yes. The ultimate, whatever he says is final. He closes doors that nobody can open. And he opens doors that nobody can close. Yes. He's the sovereign God, he's the ultimate. He says, "The sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." What is that good news? "That I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Now listen, it says to proclaim good news to the poor. "He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Even if you don't fall in any of these categories, if you're not poor, if you're not brokenhearted, if you're not being held captive, if you're not a prisoner, we all need favor from God. Right. So everybody falls in one of these categories. We all need favor. The Bible says even Jesus needed favor with man and with God. So we all need favor. Now, this scripture we've just read in Isaiah 61, this is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus years ago, way before Jesus came. That's Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. And then it says, let's go to verse 2, please. It says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Now, that's Isaiah, way before Jesus shows up. Now, look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I want to read from verse 14. It says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went to the synagogue, as was his custom. I just want to stop here for 1 minute. Even Jesus, he made going to church his custom. So we have no excuse. Even Jesus, the Son of God, he made going to church his custom. So if you can, I just want to encourage you, make it your custom to come to church. Chris, sorry, I don't know why I'm looking at you, but it's got nothing to do with you. I just make it. Everything about Jesus was custom made. Everything. That is why he never blended in. Listen, you were never created to blend in. You were created to stand out. You were created to you were never created to blend in. Now listen to this. He said he stood up to read. Next verse, please. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. What we just read in Isaiah 61, that's what now he's taken and he's about to read. He says, and it was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Next verse. Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Let's go back, verse 19, please. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He gets there and then he stops and he closes the scroll. But when we read Isaiah's version, Isaiah continues. He talks about vengeance. That's judgment. But when Jesus gets there, he stops and he closes the book. He doesn't carry on. He doesn't make any mention of the vengeance part. There is a reason. Because that is for his second coming. That is for his second coming. Now listen to this. So when you read up to the place that he said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, he has put everything in place. When he comes back the second time, he's not coming as a savior. He's coming as a judge. So before then, he's put everything in place to make sure you succeed in life. Everything. He's giving you favor. He's giving you freedom. He's put everything in place to make sure you succeed in life so that you have no excuse when he returns. Everything. Guys, I always say that if God could have done more than sending Jesus, he would have done it. He could have sent an angel to come and die, but he didn't. He sent his own son to come and die for you. If he could have done more, believe me, he would have done it. He stops there. Make sure he's put everything in place so that you succeed in life. He cares more about your destiny than you know. And this is how far you go just for your sake. Just for your sake. Just for your sake. Look at what he's done. So now that you know the will of God, it's time for you to take up your mat and pursue what God has given you. No, you can't sit down and say, oh, I'm waiting for this person, I'm waiting for that person. No, it's time to get up and pursue. He's made provisions for every area of your life. He says he's given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So he's put everything in place for us to succeed. So we have no excuse. We have absolutely no excuse. No excuse. Look at John. Let's go back to John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I want to read from verse 13. John chapter 5, verse 13. Now this is still Jesus with the man who was healed. It says, the man who was healed had no idea who he was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Now, the fact that Jesus says you are well again tells me that the man wasn't always in this condition. There was a time where he was okay. So he must have done something that brought him into that condition. say, see, you are well again. Then he said, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, I'm glad he doesn't say what kind of sin it is, because then people will be making doctrines out of it. So he leaves it there. And it's good. We don't want to know. Except I know that when it comes to sin, sin is a choice. It's a choice that you make. In the garden, when Eve decided to eat the apple, it was a choice she made. It didn't matter what the devil said. No, it was a choice she made. So sin is a choice. So it's the choices we make in life that puts us where we are. It's really never our conditions. No, it's the decisions and the choices we make that determines where we are. And when Jesus says to the guy, do you really want to get healed? The guy says, I've got nobody to put me in the water when it's dead. Now, that tells me that this is somebody who plants his life around other people's shadow. That's what he does. He plants his life around other people's shadows. But then what do you expect? I'm not surprised that he blames them. But you see, when you blame people for your problems, you are avoiding a truth about yourself. You are. When you blame, you are avoiding some truth about yourself. Honestly. It tells me he's planning his life around other people's shadow. Listen, the only shadow you should plan your life around is God's shadow. Because the Bible says he's the one who knows the plans he has for you. The arm of flesh will fail you. It will fail you. So now here's my question. Going forward, ask yourself, what do I want in life? What do I want in life? And how far am I prepared to go? Unless you're happy to just sit around doing nothing. Look at Naaman. As soon as he heard that there was a God in Israel who could heal, picked up his things. Didn't really care how far he had to go to pursue his healing. And so here's the thing. Let me ask you the question. What do you want in life? Ask yourself, what do I want in life? What do I want? What do I want? And how far am I willing to go for it? Because as we saw in Isaiah and Luke, God has put in place everything for us to succeed. So yours is to pursue it. Pursue it. Pursue health. Pursue righteousness. Pursue peace. Pursue everything. Pursue it. Pursue it. Because if you sit down and say, I'm waiting for somebody. Look, if your salvation depends on me, you never go to heaven. It's true. Pursue it for yourself. Pursue it for yourself. It's time we made our God proud because he's put so much in place for us. He has put so much in place for us. I'm sure sometimes he's probably there thinking, what else can I do for these guys? What else? I've done everything that I can possibly. What else? Can I ask you to stand on your feet? What are you willing to pursue? How far are you willing to go? It's really time to pick up your mat. Because our old ways will never open any new doors. It won't. How far are you willing to? Are you prepared to step outside of that neutral zone? You know, the Bible says that people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. It's impossible to see any exploits in your life if you live your life in the neutral zone. You know the guy who wrote that scripture? It was Daniel. Daniel never lived his life in the neutral zone. He took a stand for God. And that's why when he went into the lion's den, they couldn't do anything to him. Because your commitment plays a huge part in your life. Plays a huge part. So I'm asking you this question again. What do you want? Think about it, please. What do I want in life? And how far am I willing to go to pursue it? Father, I lift your children before you. Thank you, God, that as far as you are concerned, as far as it's within your will, that none of your children will be lost or miss their destiny. I pray that, Father, just as your mercy found this guy who was lying by the pool, may your mercy locate somebody this afternoon, oh God. May your favor locate somebody this morning, oh God, or this afternoon even. Let our lives glorify your name, oh God. Let testimonies, oh God, come out of our lives, Father. Father, where we lack strength, I just pray for strength, oh God. Strength, oh God. Strength for the journey ahead. And Father, if you said we should press into the blessing this year, then you surely you've got something in mind for us. That's why you say that. So give us the strength, oh God, to pursue, oh God. To pursue this blessing you have for us. I thank you so much, Father. And I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name I've prayed. Amen. Amen.